Welcome to our podcast. Let's have a conversation with Kim Munson. It is so important that we have conversations about the issues that are we are facing in our communities, in our state, in our nation, and have honest conversations about them so that we can understand them and that we can find solutions. And I am so excited to have on the podcast with me former Assistant Secretary of the Interior for Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, and that is Lyle Laverty. Lyle, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Kim. Good to be here.
Lyle, we have had a record recently in Denver that we have had the worst air in the world, which is hard to believe. And it's my understanding is a lot of this is because of the forest fires that are burning right now in California. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Kim, the smoke that we're experiencing over here in Denver is, in fact, in part coming from California, from the Northwest, and even up in British Columbia. And today I just looked at the numbers. We're close to probably 4 million acres that have burned already this year, on pace to be ahead of the 10 million acres that burned last year across the country. So it's a tragic time for America.
It doesn't have to be this way, though, does it, Lyle?
Kim, it doesn't have to, and that's really the challenge, I think, that land managers are facing across certainly the interior west, is dealing with the unnatural fuel conditions that are providing the fuel source for all this smoke that we're experiencing today.
Well, and we hear a lot of politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties say that these fires are because of climate change. What would you say to them on that?
Well, I think there's a series of things that have happened, and we've got an accumulation of fuels that have developed over the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and so we've got these unnatural fuel conditions. But there, certainly fire seasons that we're experiencing now are running longer than they ever have in the past, and we're finding that the fire intensity is greater. So there's probably a combination of factors that weigh into this, but it still comes back down to, if you don't have the fuel on the ground to support fire, you're going to have these fires with incredible consequences. And, as you pointed out with forest health, the public health with smoke, it's just amazing right now. And with COVID, and then folks with breathing conditions, it just complicates everything for everybody.
And I want to reiterate, it does not have to be like this. And this hands-off approach to touching our forests, which really began, I think, with the environmental movement, was unhealthy. Unhealthy for our forests, and now we're seeing it's unhealthy for human beings with the smoke that we have here in the Denver metro area. Lyle, my understanding is that the Native Americans managed forests by burning. I was talking to someone recently, and they said that they would burn portions of the forest earlier in the spring when the conditions were probably cooler and more moisture. And that seems like that makes sense. What do you think about that?
Well, I think there's a lot of truth in what folks have shared, and the idea of keeping the vegetation in a more manageable state is probably what happened here certainly in the Front Range of Colorado. We live in this fire adapted ecosystem. Fire has played historically a natural role. What would happen is that you'd have ignitions, but because the fuel loadings were so low, they would kind of creep around and burn up those fuels and keep them from accumulating in those masses that we have today. And very similar to what the Native American community did years ago.
Well, and let's talk a little bit. On one of our previous conversations, you'd said that there was, I think it's like a fire triangle. Explain that to our listeners.
Well, it really is based on the elements that create fire, and the fuel is that one piece that we can manage, you know, temperature and then, you know, having that oxygen. So you put those three elements together, that's the key that makes fire work. So if you can change any one of those elements, you have a chance to change fire behavior. So that really is the goal of actively managing these landscapes, is to reduce that fuel loading so that, you know, we have a chance to put those fires out.
Okay, now I'm talking with Lyle Laverty. He's a former Assistant Secretary of the Interior for Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. Lyle, it doesn't seem like the politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties have the political will to start to manage our forests, because if they can use this as a climate change caused event, then they can drive policy and drive money towards what they say is the solution. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I've spent a lot of time in the field and talking with folks that are actively managing these landscapes, and we know that we can, in fact, make a difference in terms of fire behavior. If we were to look at the volume of material that's in this smoke right now, all of a sudden we start looking at the consequences of not being able to actively manage these landscapes. And we know we can take people out and show folks where we've had fire behavior come out of the crowns and back down on the ground where we've actively managed the vegetation, thinning the trees, reducing the stand density, so that you can keep flowers from there. So the real challenge, Kim, comes back to the will of America, and having the will to aggressively address these issues. But when you look at what we're spending on fire suppression costs and what we could do with those funds in terms of treating these lands, whether it's spinning, modifying those fuels, that really is, I believe, is part of the key to the solution we're experiencing. We want to create resilient landscapes and resilient communities. And, you know, just in California today, there's probably close to 800,000 acres that are on fire. And, you know, those have huge impacts, economic impacts on communities, travel, tourism, you know, just the public health issues, as well as the watershed impact. So there's so much that can be done, but we just need to have the corporate will to address the funding issues to make this happen. And almost two-thirds of the U.S. Forest Service budget is going to wildfire suppression. That means putting airplanes in the air, helicopters, crews on the ground. And we have limited resources to do the vegetation work that needs to be done to reduce that fuel loading and reduce the impacts of wildfire.
Well, you mentioned three different things, and I want to actually just go back and make sure on that fire triangle, there is fuel, temperature, and oxygen. Is that right? Do I have the three things correct?
I think you've got those three things correct, yes.
Okay. And we can actually manage the fuel. Now, it doesn't mean that we won't have forest fires, but we will reduce the intensity, we'll reduce the danger, we'll reduce the economic impacts, we'll reduce the health aspects of this. We can reduce all that. We have it within our hands to do that. But what we're seeing, again, is the political will, because if we actually manage the forests, it really starts to chip away at this narrative that climate change is destroying our forests because of fires. It chips away at that. But that's why we need to have this honest conversation about this, Lyle.
Well, it really is, Kim. And, you know, again, right here in Colorado, with the impacts on I-70, these are some of the unintended consequences that come about because of the impacts of fire. And, you know, the economic effects to Glenwood Springs and Grand Junction, when you lose that travel and tourism component of the economy, those are real facts and real impacts. Oftentimes, those are not considered when we look at making the request to do the work that needs to be done on the ground.
It seems to me that local elected representatives in these towns that have been so affected by this, I have a feeling they may not even understand this, Lyle. I think maybe we have a duty to reach out to them and talk to them about this, because this really is affecting their local economies. And it doesn't have to be this way. So we should probably come up with a plan on starting to influence people to start to, our elected officials, to start to try to make a difference on it. I'm just obviously thinking out loud right now, Lyle.
So, Kim, you're exactly right. There's a group of us that have been working on putting together a framework to really address this national crisis. And, it really is a call to action to help the members of the Congress understand how critical it is to do the funding to get this work done. And, you know, a lot of money goes into suppression, but we need to be able to be making the investments to reduce that fuel loading so that we can, in fact, make the difference in terms of wildfire behavior and reduce those impacts to communities. Again, California is in serious challenges. The incident report this morning indicated that something like over 1,000 structures have been lost in that Dixie fire, which is, I think, one of the largest fires that they've had in California history. So, you know, we're on this kind of a trend where we're probably going to exceed the 2020 burn acres in 2021. So, you're exactly right. We've got to be able to raise the awareness and the corporate will to increase the pace and scale of getting these lands treated so that we can, in fact, create resilient watersheds, resilient communities, and resilient landscapes. And they all play together. And it's such a critical time for Colorado and really for the country as we look at what's happening on across the interior west.
Well, and when you say corporate will, what you mean is all of us together, that we need to have the will to do something about this. And I was just thinking about it. There's the property cost on this, 1,000 structures. Each one of those structures is important to a human being. I think about the firefighters on the ground that are fighting this tremendous danger, tremendous human cost there as well. And I just want to reiterate, it does not have to be like this. We will have forest fires, but they do not have to be this intense. And we can manage them in a much better way. As you mentioned, then, we have resilient communities, we have resilient watersheds, we have resilient forests. And we can do this, Lyle. And I know that you and many of your colleagues are on the forefront. How can people, what would you say to everyday people out there that are concerned about this? What can we do?
Well, Kim, I think one of the immediate things is to let our members of Congress understand how important this is and that we need their support to help in the budgeting process, make sure that there's resources going for hazardous fuel reductions, for active management of these landscapes so that we can, in fact, reduce that fuel loading. That really is paramount, I believe. And we've watched it over decades now where, you know, so much of the resources have had to go to putting fires out rather than making that investment to reduce the fuel loadings to keep that fire behavior at a manageable level. And your earlier comment is exactly right. Where fire is just a natural part of our environment here in the Front Range and in the Mountain West, and we just have to understand that we have to live with fire, but we can, in fact, reduce the effects of fire. So calling the members of Congress and letting them know that we need some help on the finances. Now, I understand there is some resources possibly in the infrastructure bill that may be able to be able utilized for hazardous fuel reduction. So if that's true, you know, maybe we can start seeing some real positive change. It's taken years to get to this situation that we have right now with the fuel loading, but it's going to take years to be able to modify this. But if we can put a man on the moon, we can certainly address these fuel conditions.
Very well said, Lyle Laverty. A final thought that you would like to leave with our listeners on this podcast?
Kim, I think we just need to be able to raise up the awareness of our elected officials. County commissioners have a strong voice in working with the members of the Congress to say, you know, it's urgent and we need some assistance, and that really comes from by reducing the fuel loading. So all those factors come together, and we can, in fact, make a difference.
Well, we can make a difference, and it is only just a couple of phone calls can make a difference on that. Lyle Laverty, I so appreciate you, all the great work that you do in informing people about this, and I appreciate you joining us for our Let's Have a Conversation with Kim Munson.
Thanks, Kim. It's great chatting with you.